I really, Pastor said that, and I thought, yeah, all right, cool. You know, there's been something on my heart for quite a long time, and I said, all right, I got the message all ready to roll, and everything's good. And then next thing you know, the Lord just put on my heart. Ask Amy. I just had a hard time. I said, gosh, I got to really pray on which one He wants me to preach on. And when I tell you, this has been on my heart for at least 3 or 4 months, this one message that I just have. And I said, all right, Lord, well, I'm going to be obedient, and I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to give it to You. But I need one thing from You, Lord. I said, You got to shut my mouth, and You take control. I said, because if I get up there and start taking control, I'm going to mess everything up, and I really don't want to mess this up. I just got done with that series in Proverbs. That was six. It was a 6-week series. I skipped 1 week, if you remember, and I didn't preach on the Proverbs, but I preached on what Bible salvation was. And Bible salvation is not what these clowns are out here calling salvation. There's a true, real Bible salvation that you will know. Tonight, there's changes after salvation. And that's what Pastor Randall said, a lot of things. I don't remember the number, how many things happened to you after salvation.
40.
But I found quite a few of them, and I'm going to share what happens after salvation. And God just put that on my heart that I preached a couple weeks ago, Bible salvation. And now I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give you something what happens after salvation. And I read a couple of the things to my wife, and she just looked at me and she was like, yeah. Yeah, because they're really good. And just things, God's just been really good to me like the last couple. I mean, I've been able to put some really good stuff on the website. The Lord's been giving me stuff out of the Bible. And it's not because I'm doing anything better than anybody in here. I'm not. I fall on my face just as well as everybody else. But you know what? Here's the difference. Now, I do. I repent. I confess it. I forsake it. But I'm willing to go through what He puts me through to give me a message. Everybody who thinks it's just A-okay to get up here and you're just going to get up here and preach and say what you want and not go through anything, I'm telling you, you're tricked. You're a fool to believe that. If you think I don't go through anything to go ahead and serve my God, you got another thing coming, because He's hard on me about things. There's things that, could you imagine our pastor walking around and dressing like a half rear end people they do these days, and then call himself a pastor? I mean, could you imagine just like that right there? Like me saying something like that. I mean, that takes a lot of years for God to train somebody to get that out of their life. I mean, that right there, you all have heard worse than that. And I thank God that I don't talk like that anymore. I mean, even saying that word there shocked me. But could you imagine what used to come out of my mouth? You see, so there's training that has... There's people in here who still use profanity on a regular basis. And that stuff is hard to get out of your mouth. Tell me it's not. God has to work hard to get that stuff out of you. So it's okay if you go ahead and judge me. I made a mistake. I'm sorry for it. I didn't mean to say that word. That wasn't something I meant to say, but it came out of my mouth. There's nothing I can do about it. You know, forgive me. Hopefully it never happens again. But I'm in training. I'm not perfect. I stood up here Sunday. I said, I stand before you as an imperfect man who's saved by a perfect God. I'm not the perfect one. He is. He's training me. And I don't ever try to disrespect anybody or say things that I should not. I do not ever intentionally do that to anybody. I don't ever. If anybody ever gets offended by anything I say or do, please tell me. Otherwise, I'm not going to know. I'm going to walk around here and not know. And I really don't need. I don't ever want that for anybody. I don't ever want somebody thinking bad about me or that I messed up. Hey, you know, you said this. You shouldn't have said that. Hey, I'm cool with that. I can handle it. I can handle somebody. I'd rather you come up and tell me. Then just sit back and I'll never know. And then, you know, for some reason you're mad at me. And I don't want that. But it's change after salvation. The one thing that changed after salvation, really, honestly, was my mouth. A lot of things changed about my mouth. And my wife can attest to that. I mean, I had a really filthy mouth. I mean, it was horrible. Even the things I said around my wife was horrible. You know, I used to say some pretty hard things. And after I got saved, I'm not telling you I never slipped up again, but I tell you what, I really watch my mouth around my wife and kids. I mean, if I have to say something that horrible, I shouldn't be saying it all, but if I got to be saying something, I hope to God that there's nobody around that can hear me say it. It's already bad enough God's looking down on me saying, oh, you're saying that? That's what you're thinking? That's what you... Oh, okay. Change after salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is where I'm going to start. You all know the verse. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. You see that if? That if is saying some you might be saved and some of you might not be saved. There's an if there. If. It's not saying that this is a... It's definite that this person, you're going to get saved. But if. Therefore, if. See, that if is a big thing. Buts and ifs are really big in the Bible. And you know what? It can make a whole change, a whole outcome on how things are... you read the Bible, how you understand it by those two little words there. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If, I already explained that to you, is a new creature. You see that word new? Something new is about. Something new happens inside your heart. Something new happens in your life. You just might look different. You might just talk different. I'm telling you, when you get saved, something new happens to the inside of you. Something new happens in your eyes. Something new happens with your hands. Something new happens with your feet. Something new happens with your body. I mean, things just start becoming new. Why? What's it say here? All things are passed away. It doesn't say all things immediately are passed away, but they're passing away. They're going away. You see, God doesn't take everything at once from you because He knows, number one, you can't handle it. Number two, you'd be perfect, so there's no reason to leave you here on earth. He might as well take you to heaven. You understand? But you know what? Does God get more glory out of taking everything from you at once or little by little and letting people see your growth? Huh? That's a testimony right there. That's a testimony when people see, wow, look at, he doesn't do that anymore. Wow, he does this. Wow. That's a huge testimony. And God would rather have that than just save you, change everything in your life, and then have to pull you out. Because you know what? You get bubble-headed, bloated up. You know, I mean, that's just how we are. We get very prideful on that kind of stuff. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Things are going to become new. You are not going to stay the same person. Things are going to, your actions are going to change. And it might not happen overnight. I'm not going to get into that. But I'm just telling you now, you're going to have a new, I remember the night I got saved. Pastor Shankles is there. Our pastor's praying. I mean, he's telling, you know, begging God, Lord, save them. I mean, they're just praying. And I mean, God is dealing with me at that moment. I mean, just when I got up off of my knees, I knew there was something different about me. I didn't quite understand it. But I knew this, that something had been lifted off of me that's been there for 40 some odd years. I just knew that I had a new heart in me. I told Pastor, I said, God, I'm ready to go out there right now. I'm ready to go preach on the street corners. I mean, I'm ready to do backflips. I just knew that something was different about me. And it wasn't a feeling. For years, I'm sure some of you can relate to this, I looked for a feeling experience with my salvation. I didn't get a feeling when I got saved. I got saved. I'm not saying you can't get a feeling when you get, but I didn't get a mushy, gushy feeling. I just knew that all has been lifted off of me, that no longer am I bound anymore, but I'm free. For once in my entire lifetime, I am absolutely free, and I knew that my conscience was clean for the first time in my very life as I stood there. I didn't have a dirty conscience anymore. Nothing bothered me at that moment anymore. It was gone. And I just knew it. And I was happy. I was happy. And I think I had a hard time sleeping that night, didn't I, Ann? I mean, for the next few nights, I just had a hard time. I just could not believe that it finally happened for me. It just finally happened. I mean, Jesus stepped and showed me what I needed to get. And I mean, bam, it was over with. That was it. I was saved. 2.5 years. It's been 2.5 years. Brother Haynes corrected me on that. He says, Dale, it won't be 2 years. You can't keep saying 2 years. I said, you're right. You're right. I'm getting older now in the Lord. 2.5 years, I got saved. And I love it. I'm still saved after 2.5 years. Anybody realize that? I didn't lose that. It didn't go away. You know, before I used to live false salvation. I used to live false professions. I had that for many years, and that's a scary place to be. But you know, as long as you realize it, it's not a bad place, God knows what He's doing. If you think it's never going to happen for you, have hope, because it will happen for you. God has to bring you to where you need to be. And once He gets you where you need to be and what you need to see, okay, it's over with. You see, pastors these days, if you go on my website, they have to deal with people in a different way. I didn't know the Ten Commandments. I didn't know what the laws of God were. All that had to be brought to me, had to be taught to me before I even realized I was lost. I didn't know I was sinning against God. As Paul says it, I think he said, I did it all out of ignorance. He really thought he was doing something good. He had no clue he was breaking God's law. It was showed to him. Bang. It was instant. It was over with. Once he knew that, it was over with. Ephesians 4. Something happens after salvation. You become a new man, a new creature. Something new about you. I mean, it's just new. Ephesians 4:22-24. It says that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. I mean, the old things that you used to talk about, the old things that you used to sit there with your buddies and brag about. I mean, the old things that you used to think about. All that's the old man, the old conversation. I know in our household we have new conversations, don't we, Amy? We don't talk about the garbage we used to talk about. We don't sit there and sing the songs that we used to sing. We don't think about the things that we used to think. You know what happens a lot in our house? We wonder, how can we please God today? What can this family do? How did I mess up here? How did I get here? What can I do to get this right with God? I mean, that's what goes on in our house. Those are the conversations we have. What do you think God's going to do with us? Huh, Amy? How many times do we ask each other that? What do you think God's really going to do with us? Do you think He's going to put us out there somewhere? Do you think He's going to, what do you think He's going to do in our life? Those are the conversations we have now, because that's what we're worried about. My daughter comes home for the last few days. I was telling Pastor this. And, you know, she's got enemies at school. They don't like her. She's a Christian and this and that. But yes, she's down there picking up their books and all that. She goes, Daddy, I'm being a Christian, ain't I? But they also know, you know, they pray every night, they pray for their salvation. I don't pump that stuff in their head that they're saved and all that. Let God deal with them on that. God forbid if I ever told my kids they're saved. Let God tell them that. But when they come home and act like a Christian, Daddy, I'm just happy because I get to act like a Christian. Oh, man, I'm happy for you. Good. I don't force that on my kids. That's what they pick up from me and their mother. BBB, we're still doing BBB. You know? Preaching that Bible to them. I mean, I tell you, I preached it. Do I not preach to you guys? I preach at home. I think we have a good time. The kids love it. Luke's learning verses now, being homeschooled. I mean, he's learning about God every day. He's learning what the gospel is, what the meaning of it is. That's all stuff he's getting in his head. Yeah, Autumn's getting the same thing, though she has to go to where? She has to go to a public school. But you know what? She's acting like a Christian in a public school. It's not whether we homeschool them or whether we send them. I'm not against either of them. Is let's teach our kids the right way to live. That's what we should be concerned about. Not if this one's going here and this one's not. And this one, listen, let's teach them the right way like the Bible says. Let's bring them up the way they were supposed to, and then let God deal with their lives. Let's do what we have to do. Putting off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Corrupt. The old man is corrupt. Listen, I can let myself go. Jesus moved into my heart. He moved inside of me. He lives inside of me. He dwells inside of me. I believe that 100%. You know what? I can shut Jesus off and go ahead and take my old man. I can make him just as alive. What has stopped me tonight from going out and doing what I want to do? There's got to be something inside Dale Moore that has been flipped, that has been switched, that is stopping me from going out there. 42 years old is not old for me to stop doing the stuff I used to do. What has stopped Dale Morey? What has flipped that switch inside my heart and inside my head? And I'm not talking about just the big major stuff. I'm talking about just the little stuff like loving my wife, loving my kids, loving my family. What has flipped that switch off inside of my heart from that old corrupt man to this new man? What has flipped that switch? It wasn't something I could ever do. I tried for many, many years of doing that. You know what? I failed every time. Jesus flipped that switch, boy. It ain't been the same. It just has not been the same. Things change, man. Listen to the second part. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you can put on the new man. Which after God is... Listen to this. You got to get this part. Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That means there's a false holiness out there, people. Go read the website of the devil's Christianity. You have that false holiness out there. They take holiness out of that Bible. They take the blood out of the Bible. They live any way they want, and they call themselves Christians. I'm sorry, but when a person gets saved, there's something that goes on in their heart and their mind. You know where they want to be? You don't have to force anybody to be in the house of God. You don't have to force them to want to be in church. You don't have to force them to have to read their Bible.
That's something that will come natural in the new man. I love the Bible. I could not imagine being without the Bible. I mean, some of our hard days, sometimes we can't get to the Bible right away in the morning. We do it later in the day. I have a bad time in between there. Got to get my fix, man. You know, I used to be a dope addict and all that. I'm a Bible addict. I'm proud to be a Bible addict. Excuse the word proud. I'm not using it in a bad way. But I love my Bible. I love being an addict of the Bible. I do. That was never me. I never toted a Bible around in my life. Gosh, I don't think Mama ever brought us to church one time. Do you ever remember that, Dad? I don't ever remember my mother bringing me to church. I didn't even know what a Bible looked like. The only times I ever seen a Bible is when I started going to jails and prison because they have them in there. That's when I got my first touch of what the Bible was and this and that. And it wasn't until 1998, the first time I ever picked up a Bible and read one. It was the King James, and I fell in love with it instantly. The Muslims, the God bodies, Nation of Islam, all these different religions. Do you know what? They used to come up to me all the time and tell me, you know where they used to get comfort at? Reading the Psalms and Proverbs in the King James Bible. Not the NIV, ASV, but all that. They come up to you and say, yo, when I get depressed, I go to the Psalms and Proverbs in the King James Bible and I get comfort out of that. Don't tell nobody though. That's what they used to tell me all the time. Why? Where does that come from? I mean, these guys, they don't believe in the Bible. I mean, they could care less about the Bible, but they want to get comfort. They go to King James Bible. I love the King James Bible. Thank God for it, man. Thank God for the King James Bible. Thank God for the men who stand behind it and preach it, man. I mean, thank God, because today I'm saved because somebody stood up and preached the King James Bible. So, I mean, this thing told me who I was and where I was and what needed to happen. I thank God that it happened to me. I do. I thank God with all my heart. I'm not perfect, but I love it. Love my life. Galatians 2:20. Most of you probably know this one. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. This is how a Christian lives their life. This is how somebody who has got saved lives their life. You hear what he says here? He says, I am crucified with Christ. So right there, I know that Jesus died on that cross for me, and I hung on that cross with Him. I just was right there with Him. So listen, he says, nevertheless I live, but yet not I. Yet not I. God forbid if I live for myself. God forbid if I sat here and woke up every day and all I did was think about myself and never put Jesus Christ in any of my thoughts. God forbid if I ever got back to that point. But you know, he says, not I, but Christ that liveth in me. You see, something new happens to somebody when you get saved, and that Christ living in him was the new thing. That Christ living in me is that new thing inside of me. You know, I never knew the things that I know today. I never thought I could have the feelings and the love and the companionship and the friendship and the freedom and the peace and all that I have in my life if Christ didn't come in me. If Christ didn't move inside and try to kick this old man out of me. I mean, it's a battle, man, to get that old man to stop. Listen, that's all we know. And then Christ comes in and he wants to give you the stuff. He woos you. You know what? It's not a burden. We make it a burden. We make it a burden. Why? We like it. It's easier to do wrong than it is to do right. Why? Because that's our sin nature. That's what it makes us do. That's the fool, man. That's what the devil likes to keep you hanging on. Yeah, go ahead and keep hanging on because it's easier to do wrong than it is to do right. I'll tell you now, when Jesus moves in you, it's not so much easy anymore. It's hard for me to do anything wrong and not get tore off the frame. I mean, slap. I mean, bam. Oh, wow. And if I don't catch on to what I've done wrong immediately, you better know within the next few days I'm getting it. God's going to make sure I know where I did wrong. I asked my wife, I walked around, she's like, what's wrong? I got myself all messed up again. I get myself messed up. I got to get it right. I have to get it right. Ask her, I print out verses, and I pray them back to God. God, this is that. And I'll just pray it. Why? It's His Word. He gave it to me. I'm going to pray it back to you then. And I'm telling Him that I'm the one who did wrong, not Him. He did wrong. I did wrong. I messed up. I need you. I need you to make my life different. I love my life being different. I love my life being different. Romans 12:1 and 2, you know this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. You know, God knew. God knew that we could not do this on our own. God knew that this just that Dale Morey is just not going to do things on his own. You know, Jesus comes and dwells in us. Then he gives us the Bible. Then he gives us creatures. There, you see some of God's mercies. You see that? God, he knew that he had to be merciful to us. So he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Doesn't say a perfect sacrifice. It just says that you'll just present it as one. As a Christian, that's going to be a desire of your heart. If you're not saved, you're not going to have that desire in your heart. You're not going to desire to make your body a living sacrifice. I mean, are you really willing to give up your body? Are you really willing to sacrifice it? Are you really willing to do that? I haven't proven to God 100%, but at least 80% I say, yes, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing. Me and my wife would sometimes just look at each other almost in tears and say, all we want to do is serve God. That's all we want to do. That's all we want to do is just serve Him and be left alone. Let's just serve God. That's all we want. Let the devil just step out and leave us alone. You know, it doesn't happen that way. But we're willing. We're willing to stand in the way tonight. We are willing to stand in the way tonight and present our bodies as a sacrifice to God. He's not asking us to go ahead and do that, but he's saying, are you willing to do that? Are you willing? You want to know how to get rid of something in your life? Be willing. Be willing to get rid of that thing in your life. Amy told me the other night she had some wisdom in this. She said, honey, you know when you got rid of stuff out of your life? I said, God, I really don't know. She goes, when you hated it. Right. When you hated it and God saw that you hated it, boom. We hold on to stuff and say, well, God, why won't you take it from us? He's saying, because you don't hate it. Mm-hmm. We don't want to let go of it. I struggled with that smoking and anger for years and years and years. Why? Oh, God, I want to get rid of it. He's like, mm-hmm. Hand it to him and 10 seconds later, take it right back. Hand it to him. Here's my anger, Lord. And then somebody will do something, call me on the phone or something, and I'm blown up. Oh, you really want to get rid of it, huh? That didn't last too long, my dear. I'm telling you now, you want to get rid of something out of your life? Hate it. You have to hate it. When you prove it to God in your heart that you hate it, He'll see it. Because I'm going to show you a verse here in a minute. He'll see it. Bang. I'm telling you, victory, man. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable under God. Holy and acceptable under God. He doesn't say make my body holy and acceptable for you. Or you, or you, or you. He says, unto God. That's who I should be worried about. I'm not saying you guys look at me and say some things are going on. But I don't live my life according to what anybody thinks about me. I'm done with that. Pastor knows I used to struggle with that hardcore. He said, Dale, that's one of the things that was stopping you from getting saved. I believe it was one of the things stopping me from getting saved. But now I could give a rip. I don't care what people think about me. I don't, because I don't live my life according to what anybody else. I'd rather please God with my life than you guys. That's just how. I don't have an issue with anybody in this church at all. I don't have a problem with anybody in here. That's a big miracle and a victory in itself for me to be able to get along with people like that. Okay, I mean it just is. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you know my mind is still being renewed? You know, I'm not transforming. Matter of fact, I'm trying to transform myself to the Bible. I'm transforming to what the Word is telling me. You know what I like to look up to? The men of God, those who preach the Word, the Bible. That's what I look to. I'm trying to pattern my life after them, after the Word of God. That's what I'm trying to transform my mind. I'm not feeding it worldly stuff. Though, I tell you, hey, you guys are at my house, I have a TV. But I don't watch the junk on there. We watch Little House, Waltons, and stuff like that. I promise you, that's all we watch. Ask my kids. There's no Disney channels and all that. Why? Disney channels now have gays and lesbians on the Disney channel. Mm-hmm. They sing to each other and everything on there. Gays and lesbians, straight out kids doing it to each other. Okay? So we watch the Waltons. We watch Little House on the Prairie and stuff like that. And I know TV is not, it's not right. It isn't. I just haven't got to that point where I renew my mind on that yet. When God's ready, He'll take it from me. I believe that. We do set it off. We do shut it off during the summer. I don't have the TV on. You can shut it off for 6 month increments, and I do. And I love football. I do. I love football, man. I mean, I just enjoy football. So I have to watch myself, though. You know why? Commercials, stuff like that. Guess what? Guess where my mind starts wandering? Gotta watch that stuff, man. The world, the devil, they all want you to get into that stuff. That's what he wants. Boy, would he love me to go into the honeymoon stage with my wife, and I had just seen something on TV that I shouldn't have been watching. I'm going to take that into the room with me. I was addicted to that stuff for a long time. It almost ruined my life. God forbid if I'm going to get myself back into it. No. No. I'm not doing it. I mean, that's a miracle in itself. You see, miracles happen when you're saved. Things change. You become a new man. Where did all this new stuff come? You know, I did a lot of jail and prison times, and you know the books that I'm talking about. I'm trying not to say it so kids understand, but the books and stuff that men like to look at. That's what I looked at for years and years and years and years. It came an addiction to me. How did that come out of my life? How did that leave when I was so addicted to it? I just can't believe I'm free from it. I'm free from just so many things. Where does it come from? You see, there's something that happened to me. Something new that happened to me. It wasn't a hard thing for me to start getting rid of these things when I started having God in me. When I started having Jesus Christ living inside my heart, it didn't become a hard thing. There's things I struggle with because I'm a knucklehead, but then there's been things that just went out of my life like that I never in my life ever would have thought left my life and they're easy. Drinking. The books I'm talking about. All that stuff left my life like that. But why? Because Jesus changed my heart and my mind and He got them out of my life. I don't have much time. I'm going to read these last verses about a saved person and what will happen. Salvation brings change. People will see a difference in your life that will last for more than just a few weeks or a few months. Salvation has lasting results. Changes will be done from the inside out, not outside in. It will not hold up. When you start changing things on the outside without salvation, on the inside, forget it. It will never work. It just is not going to work. It will not hold up. Minions. It will not hold up. Change comes on the inside when the outside has been... Change comes on the outside only when the inside has been changed permanently by Jesus and not ourselves. I'm going to read three verses to you. Timothy 4:8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Bodily stuff. Things that you do on the outside means nothing to God when He's worried about your inside. He's worried about what's going on inside of you. He's not worried about what you look like on the outside. He'll take care of that afterwards. First, if you don't believe me, here's two more verses that have backed that up perfectly. 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. The Lord's looking on your heart tonight. He's saying, where are you? If you're not saved, He's looking on your heart, saying that outside stuff doesn't mean nothing to me. That little bit of things that you think that you're changing on the outside means absolutely nothing. You need to change on the inside, and there's only one way to get that change, and that's Jesus Christ. That's to be washed in His blood and to realize where you stand with Him tonight. If you're not saved, you're going to go to hell, and that's all there is to it. There is no change in your life. You never did change. You never will change without Jesus. It's not going to happen. Matthew 23:27. This is the first that just absolutely blew my mind. I've read it before. I just didn't listen to it. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like whitened sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. I'll tell you tonight, if you're not saved, that's what you have inside of you. That's what you're filled with, so you can look good on the outside, but your inside is dirty, nasty, and disgusting. And that's what the part that Jesus Christ wants to change in you tonight. That's what the part He wants to take from you, and wants to give you that new clean heart, that new clean conscience. Why? Then He can start changing you. I don't think when I got saved, it wasn't right away that I just started dressing. Things didn't just change like that for me. But I tell you what, when God put it in my heart and He changed me, then I started changing things in my life, then clothing came, then the way I kept myself came and all that. That stuff didn't come first. Me and my wife didn't burden ourselves with trying to change all this stuff at one time. I'll tell you right now, you'll ruin your life trying to change things without Jesus. There's a certain point in your life that God's going to bring you to that He's going to stop unless you have salvation. Me and Amy used to try to burden ourselves so many times with changing things that God was not ready for us to change because He wanted us to get saved first. I'll tell you, there's a point Jesus will bring you. If you're somebody in here who's lost and you're searching, God will bring you to a point. But then He's going to stop until you get saved. There's a point He'll bring you to, then He's going to stop it all. Bam! And He wants you to get saved. And then He can move on. Until then, you won't go any further. You're just going to wallow in it. You're full of dead men's bones. That's what He's telling you. Me and Amy put a lot of pressure on ourselves before we got saved. Gotta change this, gotta change this, gotta change this. And how many times did it fall apart on us, Amy? 100% of the time. If it's not standing in your life right now, there's something not going right in your life, maybe you need to check your salvation. Maybe there's some dead men bones still left inside of you. You really think you got rid of it, and you just need to go ahead and get right with God. Go ahead and give it to Him and let Him take care of it. Get rid of the dead men's bones. Let Him clean that thing up. Every day, day in and day out, you're walking around thinking that you're safe. Thinking that everything's just fine, everything's okay. And inside of you, you're dirty, nasty, and filthy. He wants to clean that up. That's what He's telling you. He wants to clean that up. He wants to give you that new life. And with that new life, it's going to come new change. Things are going to change in your life. I guarantee you. I promise you that. God has something for everybody in here, whether it be in the ministry or you sitting right in this thing here being a prayer warrior and just listening to God for the rest of your life. And that's okay. But He's got something for you. If you're lost, He wants to change that and give you something new tonight. Please, I beg you with all my heart. If you're full of dead men's bones tonight, you may look good on the outside, but your inside is corrupt and dirty. Jesus has got the answer for that, and that is His blood. His blood's been shed for that. He shed it for everybody that's sitting in this room tonight. And if you don't have it, you can get it. He wants to bring you to that point. You know why? I told my boy this today, or maybe it was Autumn. I said, God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. Repentance. That means you're going to turn away from the things that you're used to and turn and agree with God. He'll wash in that blood. If He did it for me, He'll do it for you. Amen. I'm done.